I want to give you a little tip on how I do it all while keeping my kids happy and content, and that's wearing them in the Ergo Baby Omni 360. I love my Ergo Baby Omni 360 because it allows me to get stuff done while they want to be held. In the 360, you can actually use it from the point that they're that little tiny human nugget that's all squishy and really needy up until the point that they might actually break your back, although there is great support. I use it when they're cranky at dinner time, but obviously someone still needs to make dinner. Cleaning, DJing. Go to fruitsofmotherhood.com/ErgoBaby to get free express shipping on any order. That's fruitsofmotherhood.com/ErgoBaby. Now back to this amazing episode. It's Linda Fruits from Fruits of Motherhood. And tonight we're going to be wigging out with Becky from Witty Otter, who in fact was my very first Instagram mom friend. Yeah, like friend, you know, like talk. And I love your... Yeah. I love your honesty.
Oh, thank you.
I particularly love your mesh underwear, and most importantly, your how you speak about postpartum depression, which is obviously what I want to talk to you today about. Okay. So let's talk about you first. You want to introduce yourself a little bit?
Yeah, my name's Becky Vieira, and I am a mom of one. I, for the most part, a stay-at-home mom. I write, and I spend time on Instagram, more time than I wish I did, but don't we all? My son is 4 years old, and I just registered him for TK. I am not okay with that.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a hard one. And I write about postpartum depression, sometimes other things like... baby registries for baby center, but my passion is talking about maternal mental health and normalizing motherhood.
Yeah, there we go. And apparently you have a really nice view. You live in like the penthouse suite right above the...
I do. Yeah. You know, we weren't sure how close we wanted to get to the Golden Gate Bridge because sometimes you get the ocean smell isn't so fresh, but
Right. Okay. So
hideous. I had to cover it.
So before you knew that you had PPD, tell me what that was like. What was happening?
My PPD came on really quickly. I'd say within the first 7 days of giving birth to my son. And it started really slowly. I think what's hard about PPD for a lot of women, they don't realize, is I always say it creeps slowly. It's a little bit here, and it takes a step back, and then it's a little bit more, and then it takes a step back. And before you realize that you're almost underwater. So for me, it started within about the first week. I suddenly thought, I was convinced that my husband thought I was a terrible mother. And I kept saying to him, why don't you take the baby and just go move in with your mother, since obviously you think I'm awful. And he kept looking at me and saying, you know, why? And it was no matter what he said, he could say it's a beautiful day out. And in my head, it just, the way he was saying it was judgmental, and it was just awful. Your brain just lies to you. It's kind of thought. So it really kind of started like that. And I didn't have any of the euphoria, any of the joy of new motherhood. I didn't really even feel connected to my son. I loved him and I knew I wanted to take care of him, but I didn't love him like I do now. I didn't find joy in him, and I didn't find joy in motherhood. And I didn't look at him like I do today, which is, you are the most amazing creature on the planet.
Well, he is.
But it was all stolen from me. And it's just very sad. It's a very sad, lonely, dark place.
And how did you know to get help? Like, how did that start?
It was a longer process for me. It's different for everyone. I remember, you know, I knew something wasn't right, but then at the same time, I thought, well, why is it? Because people don't talk about it. And I thought, why is it so hard for me? And it's not for anyone else, because no one else is saying that they're up at 3 a.m. cleaning with Q-tips because, you know, they're having anxiety and they can't sleep, or they're depressed, and nobody is making plans to take their own life like I was. And so I just attributed it all to me being a bad mother. Mm-hmm. And I really lived in that state for a long time. And, you know, people tried to help. They would say, oh, you need sunshine. And I remember taking my son to the park and looking up and just begging the sun and the universe to heal me.
Right.
And nothing worked. And it just further fed the lies in my brain that I was a bad person. I was a bad mother. I didn't deserve to be a mom. This child deserves someone better. And then I started having episodes of rage, and they weren't rage toward my child. They were episodes of rage, I guess, toward my kitchen. It was almost like this pain inside me would just build and build and build, and almost like a snowball rolling down a hill and just picking up speed and weight. And suddenly I had to get it out, and I would go and I would punch the wall and I would punch things and throw things. And one day my husband came home not long after that. And I was just, remember sitting on the kitchen floor, and I just said, I need help. Something's not right. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot to get there, because I didn't, you know, I would look at brochures of PPD and it would say, you know, you are, I don't even know, you know, you feel blue, or you feel this way, or you're, and it's manifests differently in everyone, and it manifests differently every day. Mm-hmm. And didn't see myself. I just thought it was all going
like
back
part to, of it.
Yeah. I just felt like it was all went back to this idea in my head that I was awful at this.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know.
Right. And your husband, did he know about PPD to mention anything, or?
No, we knew, you know, my extent of it was someone coming in and saying, you know, here's a stack of forms this thick, and in here is one sheet, and these are signs to look for PPD. And they kind of handed it to us as an afterthought. And, you know, I was more prepared on how to introduce a pacifier to
right
than PPD. So, you know, Mike didn't know, my husband didn't know. And of course, you know, people, it's human nature. We want to fix things. I always say, I think people seem to live in this world where they think you get a ribbon or a cookie if you have an answer.
Right.
And people feel compelled to say something instead of saying, gee, I don't know.
Right.
Instead of saying to him or to me or to anyone, that doesn't sound like an experience I know. Maybe you should see your doctor. It was peppered with, well, it's hard for everyone, or, well, maybe she didn't prepare herself. And, you know, all those things just sent me further down the hole. So,
right. It sounds like it would just make it worse. Like,
yeah. I mean, he was trying to help. He was coming home, you know, maybe you need to work out, or maybe,
right,
you know.
He was doing the best he could, you know, as you were too. And when you're presented with something like this, you don't know. You don't know until you hear a podcast about it or you go to the doctor.
Navigating the unknown. And, you know, mm-hmm. Information I think is there is for moms. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's great. My son's 4, and postpartum depression is much more a part of the conversation now than it was then. But I think that we still talk about it in these general terms. Oh, it's PPD and it's depression, and I have it, or you have it, or she had it. And mm-hmm. then everybody shuts down. Nobody really wants to dig into what it is and how it looks and what you can do. But it's even less available, I think, for our partners.
Right. Because I think them helping us, if we are going through something like that, that would be huge. You know, how do people know how to help you through that, let alone you help yourself?
Yeah.
What resources did you guys find that kind of helped with that?
I went that day straight to my doctor's office, and I walked in and I couldn't even speak. I remember at the front desk, and the office manager I'd become close with during my pregnancy immediately ushered me into a room, and I write about it. I don't talk about it. I was immediately surrounded by the nurses who had been there for me when I was pregnant, and the woman who used to do my non-stress test. These women were all of a sudden kind of like around me. Mm-hmm. And one of them came in and had brought me like pumpkin bread from the break room, and they just kind of let me cry. And they kept saying, it sounds like you have postpartum depression. It's okay. It's normal. It's calm. Mm-hmm. It's normal.
Right.
And those were words I hadn't heard before. I started medication and started seeing a therapist. And I do think, though, that my biggest healing came from when I started telling my story on Instagram and hearing from other moms. Mm-hmm. And just being able to tell my story and hear their story and to find similarities just truly normalizes, and normal is such an important word, because we are so hard on ourselves as moms, even in the best of situations.
Yeah, absolutely.
Throw in mental health, where everything is upside down, and it's very isolating.
So tell me more about the moms that you connected with. Like, what would they say to you?
You know, I started slowly sharing my story. I didn't talk about it for a long time. And then finally I posted something along the lines of, oh, I had a little PPD, but it's not that big of a deal. I certainly didn't go into how bad it was. And people started saying, oh, thank you. I did too. I thought I was going to get a divorce. And I thought I was going to get a divorce because I was pushing my husband away. And people were saying, I kept telling my husband to take the baby and leave. Well, I kept telling, you know, you mm-hmm. sort of, these kind of overriding themes were common. And, you know, the details of it, some people, you know, like me, I wanted to end my own life, and I planned how I was going to end my own life. I tried to run away. It's not always like that, but sometimes mm-hmm. it is, and it's obviously heartbreaking, and I don't wish it on anyone, but once you kind of find that community and others who've gone through it, it's something like no other. And I remember at one point, you know, a lot of people close to me were saying, well, why? It's hard because you're so willing to talk about this with strangers that you met on the internet and not us. And I think, you know, any of us who are active on Instagram can attest to the power of strangers on the internet. And
of course,
how wonderful it is to open up. And mm-hmm. it wasn't so much they were strangers. They were my fellow PPD warriors. And it was just meeting someone who had been through what I had, who had firsthand experience.
Go ahead.
Oh, because I didn't feel like a freak. I didn't feel like I was crazy. I didn't feel like I was a bad mom. I didn't feel like it was something I had caused. I mean, there's just women from all walks of life. There's doctors I've talked to. There's college professors. There's, you know, you name it across the board. First-time moms, moms on their fourth child, moms with incredible wealth and all the resources in the world, you know,
single. Right.
It doesn't discriminate. It's everyone.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So I think that was knowing that I didn't do it and there was nothing I could have done differently. It takes a lot of stuff off.
And the fact that it is normal. I mean, it's just, do you think that finding out that you had postpartum depression was kind of like a relief? Like it was a name to how you were feeling? Yeah.
Yes, it was, because I was just convinced, like I said, I didn't see anyone else talking about, you know, punching their wall and breaking glasses or, you know, wanting to, I remember I used to pray, not pray exactly, but hope that I would get sick. Nothing mm-hmm. too serious, but sick enough to end up in the hospital because mm-hmm. I wanted to break. I just, you know, there's just a lot of bad things happened.
No, we're here for the ride. Trust me. I mean, I obviously can relate when I talk to other moms about just the stuff I post, like just being upset in motherhood. It's just so normal to go through that. And I'm glad that you found people to talk to, because then you're like, oh, it's not just me, you know?
Yeah.
And that's huge.
And I think it's for everything in motherhood. It's the days we feel like we yell at our kids too much. It's the days we feel like we gave too much screen time. It's the days when we feel like we're not living up to this ridiculous expectation we've set for ourselves, that me too, I've been there too, I'm the same, is almost like the greatest gift you can give another mom or be given by a mom.
Absolutely. And did you say that your family and friends weren't as understanding in the beginning, or they just didn't understand how to feel?
I think a lot of people didn't know what to do. I'm lucky in that my mom is a nurse, and you know, at the beginning, everything's just a mess. But then kind of the next time she came down and visited, she knew something wasn't right and kept an eye mm-hmm. on me. I also, though, really shut down at that point. Like I said, I pushed my husband away. I pushed everyone mm-hmm. away. I had this plan that my son had acid reflux and he couldn't take formula. I was breastfeeding. And so I had this date on my calendar where I thought if I can get him to 6 months, And then the next day I was going, I had this place and I was going to drive my car into a wall. And I thought that my plan was flawless. And so I just needed to make sure no one found out about it. So, but you know, pretty soon, once I kind of hit that breaking point, you know, my mom came down and stayed with us. And, you know, I think people either understand or they don't, because it's an understanding of mental health. You know, I closed off. I didn't talk to people. I didn't return messages. I mean, text messages, emails, phone calls were just like a weighted blanket on my soul. I would look at my phone, see all these unreturned messages, and it would just, I couldn't breathe. And a lot of them were, hey, I know you have a new baby. I'm here. Just checking in. Don't respond if you don't want to, which is the best thing you can say to a new mom.
Right.
That permission to not respond. But a lot of it is, well, why, where are you? Why am I not hearing from you? Don't, can you send me pictures? I should. And it was too much. And, you know, some of my friends, because I pulled back, didn't understand, and still to this day, probably don't understand postpartum depression. They think it's, I know a lot of people think it's exaggerated or it's not real or it's, oh, it's not that bad. And I have relationships that have never been repaired.
Yeah, because they think they can't see it, so it's not real. I mean, I understand people that are like that.
Yeah,
unfortunately. But I
think I'm very lucky that my best friends are still my best friends, and they were just whatever you need, you know.
Good, good. Yeah. And do you, let me see, do you actually tell your son about it? I know he's four, but do you mention like mommy's not feeling good?
Yeah, you know, it's tough. I don't think there's a right or a wrong way probably to address this with a child. I mean, every kid is different. Every mom is different, every story. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he could even grasp depression,
right.
But he's very empathetic and he understands sadness. I always believed in like showing emotions, showing how you teach people. If I cry, I don't hide it from him. I certainly don't sob on the floor in front
right.
of him.
Well, of course.
I don't want to scare him.
Right.
But, you know, I still deal with it. Even, you know, 4 years later, I'm still adjusting my meds sometimes, or I'm still having setbacks. Mm-hmm. I know what my triggers are, a lot of them for the most part, which helps. But yeah, there are days when it just kind of, you know, sneaks through the cracks and something happens. But I just tell him, mommy's sad. Mommy's having a hard day. And you try to explain it the best as I can.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I do the same thing with my son. Like we had a rough day. And at the end of the day, I'm like, I'm sorry. Mommy was frustrated. She wasn't having a good day. You know, I mean, we all do it.
Yeah. They need to know we're human.
Right. And that it's okay to make mistakes. And then you have to say you're sorry. That was more towards him.
We're both kind of butting heads. And at the end of the day, I said, you know, I'm really sorry. Mommy had a really hard day, and, you know, and I'm sorry. And I'm sure you're sorry too. And he said, okay, mommy, I'm glad you're sorry. And he goes, he's like, but you're grown up, so you should probably know better.
You're like, close.
You can grow up and make mistakes, kid. So thanks.
Oh my goodness, that's too much. So the moms that you talk to, do you talk about the triggers for you? Is this common, the same triggers amongst everyone who's experienced this?
Yeah, you know, some are common. I mean, I think just it seems obvious, but not as any kind of anything off with medication always seems to trigger it for people. For some people, it's if they skip a day. For some people, if it's they take it at a different time, it's, you know, so medication, if you're on medication, can start. For me, lack of sleep is a huge trigger, which is common. I don't do well with chaos in the house. So when there's too many toys or laundry or something, I really kind of feel myself start to kind of ratchet up. And what I do now is I will go and I'll tell my husband, like, I'm triggered. I'm having anxiety. Like I need to go to sleep, or I need you guys to go play in the other room just so I can wash dishes. So it's that kind of stuff.
Honestly, you're describing like me and my personality. Like that stuff triggers me too. No lie. I mean, it's tough. And I can't imagine like it being any harder than it is, you know, just the basic stuff of motherhood.
And I think I have a fear too, that what might seem like okay, you know, somebody could be listening to this and saying, well, yeah, nobody likes clutter, you know, join the club. But for me, it could be almost like a gateway to something much darker and deeper. And so there's a heightened sense of fear, I think, that comes with it once you've had PPD or any types of other mental illness.
Oh, for sure. That makes sense. And what tips would you give moms to talk to their family about having PPD?
Moms who have it or just in general?
I mean, I guess both ways. So like people to discuss it about themselves and then tips for family members to help the mom.
I think it's really important to sit down. And I think as moms, we're the most selfless creatures. It is so hard to be selfish. It is so hard to, you know, people always say, oh, self-care should be more than taking a shower, but
they're like, well, that's all we get.
That's great. At the same time too, I would feel so guilty if I went and took like, you know, a 5-hour spa day. I would do it. I would feel guilty. But, you know, I got to a point where I sat down and I needed to know what I needed. So it was things like, you know, I need to, like, I used to always just do all the laundry together. And I got to the point where laundry was always just triggering me. And my husband said, well, what if I started doing my own laundry? It's like, yes, great, do that. Okay. And things like when people call me, I just had to say, just text me. I had to tell everyone, just text me. And please, it's going to sound silly, but add that, don't worry about texting back. I needed that sometimes. You know, a big thing, it's hard once you start telling people about PPD, it kind of goes back to this, you know, as a society, we want to help and we want to fix. We want to fix things. And I think it's hard when someone is going through something to just listen. You know, there's this great bit of advice that maybe if someone's opening up to you, you can ask them, do you need me to listen? Do you need me to help? Do you want me to offer solutions? Like, how do you want me to respond? And one thing I found a lot of times with PPD was people would find out, or I would tell them, and it became me counseling them. Like, no, you didn't do anything wrong. Like, no, it wasn't stressful when you came to meet the baby. It wasn't, you know, I think that people, that telling people it's not you. It's really not you. It's something that is beyond anyone's control, you know, so doing that. But I think, you know, figuring out your triggers, and that is hard. And that's taken me a while. And I think I'm still coming to terms with some, and maybe even just kind of being as truthful about them as I can. But, you know, I think it's just letting people know what you need. And if that's, you know, that you need a friend or a mom to go pick up milk for you, or someone to help you fold your clothes. It's just sometimes those little things make a big difference, but you do have to ask for it. So, you know, I would suggest you just have to be as honest as possible with people. And, you know, there's a lot of women that I've spoken with, and this is just what breaks my heart, but also compels me to kind of keep going, that have partners who don't believe them, who think they're making it up, who think they're being dramatic, who don't think PPD exists, women who've gone to their OB. And I don't want to stereotype, but I've heard more instances of this happening with older male OBs who don't believe in PPD, who think, oh, it's the baby blues. Everyone has it. And the baby blues and PPD are two very different things. They might,
for sure,
you know, live on the same aisle at the grocery store, but they're not anywhere near the same thing. And a lot of times, you know, when that happens to them, I just say, you have to keep going. Then you have to keep digging to find a resource that can help you. There's a great organization called Postpartum Support International. And that's actually where I started. It's like, they couldn't make it easier. And I have had so many women message me, and I'll be calling the hotline, and because sometimes you can't even pick up the phone. You know, I've had strangers, I don't know where to start. So you can go, you can call them. They have a map of every country, and you can pick your region, and it goes down to your county, and it gives you the name of a coordinator who is responsible for your county. And they will give you the name of therapists, psychiatrists, psychologists who are specialize in PPD, of support groups, of all sorts of resources. So, you know, it's hard. I think the hardest thing, well, there's a lot of things that are hard about mental health, but I think most people would agree that it's the first step is admitting it, and then it's getting help. And you know, it would be great if somebody would step in and say, I'm going to make you a doctor's appointment and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, but it doesn't always happen. So
right.
I think it's advocating for yourself and finding your voice and just mm-hmm. you know, keep going, because it doesn't need to feel this way. You don't deserve it. You didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
And motherhood should be enjoyed. And that's not something I knew, you know, for at least the first 5 or 6 months. I didn't think that there was any enjoyment in it. I felt like I was just almost on this conveyor belt, or I was standing in front of a conveyor belt, you know, and my son would come down and I'd feed him and burp him and put him to bed. And then, you know, it was just, I felt like I was stuck and that was going to be my life forever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, having someone tell you it's not.
Right.
Makes a lot of difference.
How soon after you started medication, and I know this is different for everyone, did you start to feel better?
Oh, so it was just it's like the clouds open and a light came down and angels sang. It was so
really quick. Oh, oh yeah. Wow.
I noticed it within a week. And so mm-hmm. I had a few like dizziness or nausea, but to me it's like anything was better than
right. Absolutely.
Completely destitute. So at 2 weeks, I went back to my doctor and I felt better, but I remember she said, but do you feel perfect? Do you feel like you did before you got pregnant? I said, no.
Mm-hmm.
And we adjusted my medication. But, you know, I'd say then at that point, around 4 weeks after starting mm-hmm. it was like night and day. I certainly had setbacks, but that was kind of just like the spark that I needed to know that I could get through this.
Right. And I think that's important for anyone listening who is curious or wondering if they have it, that, you know, there is help and that once you get help, you would feel better, you know?
Yeah. And I know there's a lot of, you know, a lot of people don't want to take medication.
Right.
They're afraid that they'll be dependent on medication forever. And everyone's different. I've spoken to women who have had severe postpartum depression and were able to kind of come out of the fog without medication. I know mm-hmm. women who've gone off their medication. I personally am still on it, but I'm of the belief that if I have to take 1, 2, 4 pills every day for the rest of my life and I never feel that way again, you know.
So be it. Yeah, absolutely.
But it's personal for everyone. And we all mm-hmm. come to this with a different life experience and differently held beliefs. So, you know, but there's a plan out there for everyone. You know, everything can be personalized to each woman. Mm-hmm. So I think just, you know, God forbid, please don't let your fear of medication stop you from getting help.
Right. I think that's what I was trying to say, that definitely you don't have to suffer, you know.
Yes. Yes. You don't have to suffer.
Yeah. No matter which way they go, medication or not, you know, they can get help in other ways too. So let's talk about your Instagram a little bit. You mentioned as you started to post more and more about it, did you get people that were, let's just call them haters, you know, some rude comments?
I mean, it's interesting. There's, you know, for the most part, I'd say my postpartum depression posts don't get the most likes and comments, but they definitely drive the most direct messages and the most, you know, kind of building connections with people. But yeah, there's a lot of, as what do we, sanctimommies, as we like to call them, you know, just don't believe in it or think that, oh, you shouldn't have had children. I didn't know before I got pregnant that this was going to happen to me, you know, and just suck it up. It's hard for everyone. There's a interesting group of people, maybe like around in their 50s or 60s, that come really hard at the, we all had it hard. You guys are all snowflakes who sit here and cry. Motherhood's hard for everyone. Suck it up. Oh. And to me, that's the stigma that I fight about. It is hard
right.
for everyone. It shouldn't be. And we should be more aware. People don't talk about how hard it is. And I think because they look at it like, well, everyone's done it. You know, women
right.
for centuries have been doing it. They survived. But no, you know, we need to know. We need to know that you're going to get something called a uterine massage and it's not going to feel like a massage and it's going to hurt. We need to know that when you go home, it might be hard to walk and you might pee your pants on the way to the bathroom, or, you know, you might be so deprived, you just look at your partner and, you know, you want to punch them square in the face. I mean, these are the things that people need to know and talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. I have some terrifying story, but it's one that is ingrained in my brain for the rest of my life. Obviously, we just had the baby. I was standing there in a diaper and I was in the bathroom and I needed help. I think, you know, when you have those giant pads in the mesh underwear and they fall out all the time, every time you sit down on the toilet. So I was like standing there. I don't know why I had the baby, probably trying to breastfeed on the toilet because, you know, it's very foggy those days. And I remember the pad falling out and I'm like calling to my husband. I'm like, please come help me. And literally it's going to get gory. Like just a gush.
Yes.
Everywhere on the walls. And I was like crying and then laughing and then crying and then like looking at his face and I'm like, what's going on?
I mean, it takes your relationship to the next level, truly.
Right.
Careful in that. But I didn't know. I mean, I remember hearing things and I had a C-section, but I still, and I have women who tell me, then you don't need to be on a pad. You don't need to be in mesh underwear. I don't. Okay. Well, I guess I had a different C-section than you. I mean, the first time I showered at the hospital, it looked like a Dateline murder mystery. It was a crime scene in there. Even days
for
later.
Sure.
Well, you might be having like little bits of lochia that come out. Well, lochia is like parts of your body that are coming out and it smells like parts of your body are coming out. And there is no way to, you're sitting on this industrial size pad and it's warm and sticky and you can feel chunks on it.
Oh my gosh. I forgot about the warm part. You're so right.
And it's going to feel like it's never going to stop, but it stops. But somebody needs to really kind of clarify, I feel like, you know, what it really means to, you know, to be to those days of like kind of shedding and everything. And, you know, and I hear all kinds of feedback. Oh, you're going to scare moms or people don't want to know this or then. I wish I would have known because I remember one night waking up completely soaking wet, drenched, and the next morning.
Oh, yeah.
Doctor and saying, I think I have an infection. She was like, oh, well, no, remember night sweats? No, I really don't. I don't remember you telling me about that, but trying to keep this human alive.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not thinking about myself.
Yeah.
I had those so bad too.
Oh, for months. Yeah. I used to sleep. It got to the point where I would soak the sheets through onto my husband's side. So I would go to bed at night and I would put two layers of towels. I would keep a change of clothes next to me because I would wake up like I could rip my clothes out. You know, where's that chapter?
Exactly. I know. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, this stuff. I think it's like, oh, you'll have night sweats. The end. No, there's no more.
It needs to be a full chapter, a full disclosure.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. I think because moms are in such a fog, just like you're just in survival mode, that when it's over, you're like, oh dear God, I made it, you know, like.
Yes. But I, you know, I try to do all this, you know, what I wish people had told me about even the early days of breastfeeding. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. It feels it's like you dipped people in acid and stuck it in a pencil sharpener. Like you need to know, like.
Love that. Tell me more. What else? This is wonderful.
And then, you know, you always have to add the caveat. I love my child. I do.
Yeah, yeah.
But part of, I think, what makes women and moms so strong and powerful is that we do go through all this and we survive it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it needs to be hidden or not talked about. It's if we're going to be a true community and a true sisterhood, let's, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
For sure. And I do agree that once you go through that, that's why we come out on this other side the way we are, you know, raising a human, because we went through hell and back.
Yes. I think about uterine massages and the comments. I mean, it's the comments were just ongoing. I remember that they were awful. I didn't know. I mean, just there's universal truths to motherhood that that's, you know, that we should talk about more.
Absolutely. And when those people do say those mean comments on Instagram, do you just delete them? Do you block them? What do you do?
It depends the extent. If they start to get vicious, if they start to attack me, if they start to attack my child,
mm-hmm.
I usually say, come after me, I can take it. But if you're coming after my mom or my husband or my child or a friend or another follower, you know, like saying cruel things, then a lot of times it just depends if I'm feeling spunky enough. I'll kind of go back at them, which is funny because then inevitably you, I'm sure, can speak to this. People come back to you and say, you're so obnoxious. Why wouldn't you just, you know, why wouldn't you just ignore the comm? It's like, you can't win, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. If you say something, if you don't, if you delete it, if you move on, it's just like, you literally can never win.
Yeah. So what I do now is, unless I'm sharing someone else, anything I've written myself, I add a disclaimer. And they're tongue in cheek, but they're truly there because I try to think of everything anyone would say and put it in the disclaimer. So it's, for example, if I talked about being a boy mom, I would say, you know, I'm not intending, I understand this could be the same to a girl mom. I'm not a girl mom. This is my experience. I don't mean to exclude you. I'm not being sexist. I, you know, and I'll go on and on because I mean, you can post about the sun and someone will say, why do you hate the moon?
Right. So, I know.
I always want to say, it's not always about you. It's not always about, not every meme is going to speak entirely to everyone.
Exactly.
You don't pay me to hand tailor content. You don't pay me for anything. This is a free service.
Exactly. We're free entertainment. I mean, I obviously understand. Does do your disclaimers work or do you still?
I think they do. I, you know, sometimes we'll reshare something we've posted in the past and sometimes I've had things that have been highly controversial and I've reposted recently with a disclaimer. And it really, I mean, I think people maybe are shamed into silence and they should be because you don't count and troll them. So, you know,
right.
I guess I'm just doing it before you do it to me.
Right. And I love it. That's good to know.
To be, you know, saints and nuns. I think people expect because we're on this public platform and sharing our lives that we have to always rise above. And no, I don't deserve to be called a bad mother or disgusting. So.
Oh yeah. The dirty shaming. I remember something about someone telling you.
About struggling to find time to shower and someone called me dirty and disgusting. And apparently, you know, some of these women, you know, shower 3 times a day, you know, orally service their husband 5 times, make their children farm to table meals out of their garden. And then, you know, I don't know, knit their own clothes on the first 5 hours of the day. So I can't keep up.
No, I definitely cannot. And I'm surprised they even have Instagram. How do they have time for that?
Well, it's all about time management. That's what they say. You know, if you manage your time, you can do anything.
Oh my goodness. I have a hard enough time with chicken nuggets. I don't know how they do it.
Nuggets. Oh, I had to put I have to write the directions on like the freezer bag.
Mm-hmm.
4 years. I mean, well, he hasn't been eating dino nuggets for 4 years, but I still don't remember.
It feels like it. It feels like it.
The temperature.
My son has now graduated to only eating food with honey. I accidentally did chicken nuggets and honey, and now it is like full blown honey on everything.
Oh,
I don't recommend it to anyone who's listening. Don't make my mistake.
Well, he's good for preventing allergies, so.
That's true. That's true. There are some positives.
Ranch, so it's not.
Oh my goodness. So let's talk about this badge of honor concept that we actually talked about months ago.
You know, this is, I feel like a big thing for women and for me especially. I didn't know anyone who had postpartum depression. I didn't know anyone who I could ask, like, I didn't feel like I could ask, oh, did you have postpartum depression? No one, none of my friends, family, anyone who had children before me had it or didn't talk about it. So I didn't know who to go to. And I think that's a big thing for women is they don't feel like they have anyone they can talk to. And I've always thought, you know, wouldn't it be great if there was, you know, the positive version of a Scarlet A? that we could identify ourselves as a PPD survivor or, you know, in the fight or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I always thought, oh, wouldn't that be great if we could maybe have something even on our Instagram page, but you know, I think obviously they're more interested in profits than helping with mental health. So that's not going to go anywhere. But you and I have talked about, because you make such great fun products and I wear your mama hat all the time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Because I love it. We talked about, what if we made like PPD Warrior or something like a necklace or a hat or a sweatshirt, or I've thought even before a keychain. Mm-hmm. I was even thinking like something you could put on your diaper bag. Like I remember going into the Mommy and Me classes and, you know, at a certain point I had no shame and I could say, oh, I had PPD, I, you know, and then afterwards people would come up and, you know, it's this kind of dark secret. Mm-hmm. But I think, wouldn't it be so much easier if we could identify ourselves that way? And I thought it was a great idea. I did some polls on my page and people thought it was a good idea, but they thought, oh, I wouldn't wear it, or would people know, or you wouldn't wear it every day. So I don't know, maybe your listeners will have some ideas for something we could do. Maybe somebody works at Instagram or Facebook and it could be a badge. Didn't we have badges on MySpace or something? Like, couldn't you?
I think so. Even so, like maybe we come up with some like emoji symbol that means this, you know, and then we kind of like market it and then people can put it on their Instagram and it's not really, you know, people who know and people who don't.
Yeah, kind of like, I think like a pineapple is the symbol for infertility.
Right.
And allegedly also swingers, which is neither.
Honestly, I knew that for some reason. And I was like, oh, okay.
Instagram. I've always thought a pink elephant would be so great because it's like, you know, people say, oh, let's talk about the elephant in the room or the pink elephant in the room or something.
Uh-huh.
I just happen to like pink.
Same.
So I've always thought, oh, a pink elephant would be great because it truly is the elephant in the room that everybody, no one wants to talk about.
Right. Well, what we should put that on a hat or a necklace or a bracelet or a keychain. Like that's adorable. Anyways, but yeah, we're opening it up to anyone who's
a bio. Yeah. Add an elephant emoji.
And we need to contact whoever makes emojis to make a pink elephant, because there's only a gray one.
Yeah, that's true. I wonder if there's one though, you know, sometimes you can go and find these programs and download them and copy and paste them.
Oh, that's true. That's very high tech. So yeah, for our listeners, if you have any feedback or comments on this, if you like it, let us know, because we definitely want to make this happen.
Yeah, we believe in it. And you've been a big supporter of this idea. And
yeah, because again, it's this whole thing. It's this motherhood journey that we're all on. And I hate the negativity. I hate the loneliness that, you know, someone would feel like, you know, you being not being able to talk about it. Like I want it to be open. I want motherhood to be an open book.
Yeah. I mean, because it's great. You think about it. If you're cloth diapering or something, people easily can say, does anyone have tips for this or that? Or I'm having trouble choosing a pack and play, but hey, I have postpartum depression. Anyone have any suggestions? That's still, I think, hard. So like waiting in the bag, like I'm here, I had it, come to me if you want to ask the question.
I love that. Thank you so much for talking to me today. This has been wonderful. I love everything about you. And
hair.
Our wigs. Yeah, your pink hair.
Wigs. I was the original Moira Rose. I've always wanted to have lots of wigs.
I used to have a lot, and I don't know, over the last couple of years, I slowly was like, I don't need this anymore. And then I know you like wigs. So I'm like, I'll buy a wig.
Yeah. And I don't really have anywhere to wear them. So I just wear them around the house. So I just,
yeah, I'm going to have to start wearing this one around the house.
Good one. I might need to get that too.
So before you go, I always ask the same two questions. What is your least favorite part of motherhood and your favorite? Because again, the whole mission is just to normalize motherhood. It's good and bads.
I think my least favorite is, I think just the guilt about the parts that I can't enjoy. I feel guilty that there's times when, you know, maybe my son wants to do a craft or something and he's getting older every day in front of my face, and he's going to be in school at some point. And, you know, I hate that there's parts of it that I can't enjoy, that I'm tired or I'm stressed or he's driven me up a wall. And, you know, I hate that I have guilt over that. I wish I could just kind of release that and say, you know, it's okay to do the dishes and not a craft project.
Right.
So, and then my favorite part, mm-hmm. you know, that I wanted to be a mom for so long. And I remember, you know, friends and nieces and nephews and stuff would hug me and love me. And I remember, not that you want to see this, but when a child like maybe gets hurt or scared or tired, the only person they ever want is their mom. Aww. And I just remember wanting so badly to be that person for someone. And just, you know, no matter what, like I'm his safe place. And I love that I'm that for him. He's just, you know, I feel so lucky to be his mom, and so lucky that when he's scared or sad, that the only person he thinks can make it better is me.
And oh my gosh, that's beautiful. You're going to make me cry. I'm going to
cry. He's staying with his grandparents right now. And I'm like, I miss him.
I know, right? This is like the worst time to do a podcast without him. You can't go hug him.
Tonight and watch The Wall if I want to, because I don't have to get up early tomorrow. So there's that.
There, that is wonderful. I could use a day like that. Yes. So thank you again so much. And if for everyone listening, if you're not already following her on Instagram, you won't regret it. She's amazing. She's funny. She is so honest about everything that we talked about today and more. I just, you're missing out if you don't. And I love that you are taking care of yourself, you know, today, tomorrow, you know, and by doing that, you're helping other moms. And it's just, you're wonderful.
Oh, thank you. You are the funniest human alive. I don't know how you constantly are just so funny and spot on. Like how do you do it every day? Like,
oh my gosh.
Right. It's like, yep. So
I appreciate that so much. You know, an artist, like, I don't like my own stuff. I'm like, that sucks. So thank you. I appreciate that. And everyone who is listening, don't forget to subscribe to my website for fruitsofmotherhood.com. You could be the first to hear about blog posts, podcasts, videos, and all that jazz. Thank you so much. Thank you
for having me.
Bye.
Hey, mama. Do you enjoy a nice glass of wine after or during a long day of motherhood? Guess what? Me too. I want to tell you about Revel Wine Club. It's my new favorite way to get wine. Revel Wine Club is a personalized wine service tailored to your taste, budget, and lifestyle that makes buying great wines super easy. Tell them what type of wine you like, how many bottles, choose red, white, or both. Tell them how often you'd like each shipment. Receive, sip, and enjoy, girl. Check out which wine I'm drinking right now by going to fruitsofmotherhood.com/wine. The way we spend our money has changed a lot since we've had children. So to help with the mom guilt and the need to still buy cute things, the Fruits of Motherhood shop is donating proceeds of each sale to Every Mother Counts. EveryMotherCounts.org is a nonprofit organization that works to improve access to quality maternity care around the world. Just buy a hat, a shirt, or anything else in the Fruits of Motherhood shop and you help a mama in need. Just go to fruitsofmotherhood.com/shop. And use the code podcast to get 10% off anything in the store. That's fruitsofmotherhood.com/shop, promo code podcast.